Good morning. Welcome to the morning show on WRCO Radio. I'm Ron Fruit. Today, we're going to shine our community spotlight on a program that for many years has provided incredible opportunities, and it's one that requires your volunteerism to make a difference, and that is Kinship. Michelle Nolan-Karras is the director of Kinship. Michelle is here today, and we have two volunteers who step forward. We'll learn about the rewards and the things that they are doing. Randy Durst and Colleen Povelmacher are with us today on the program as well. To all of you, welcome. It's nice to have you here today. Michelle, it's nice to be able to have you back in the studio to be able to talk about Kinship. I think everyone has been affected by COVID in that way and the other things, and certainly Kinship was one of them, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we're really glad to be kind of back to normal. And we are no longer doing the site-based mentoring, but the community-based mentoring is picking up again. And we had actually a lot of requests last year, a lot of referrals for kids, because I think COVID was getting sort of difficult for them too. You think kids are so resilient, and they are, but there's a limit. And so we had some wonderful new relationships created, and that's kind of why we picked the volunteers today. They're kind of the result of those new relationships.
That was going to be exactly my next question, is that it strikes me that during the pandemic, when people were isolated and children didn't get those relationships, if Kinship, you know, the role now for Kinship isn't even more important than it's ever been before.
I really think so. And especially in, we don't require single parent families anymore, but many of the kids are from single parent families, and their parent is really occupied, and they just need a little extra time with somebody who they know is not doing it for pay, but is doing it because they want to.
Let's define what Kinship is and maybe what it's not, Michelle.
Well, Kinship is a program that's been around in Richland County since 1987, and it's actually kind of like Big Brothers Big Sisters, but it doesn't cost as much to belong to that. And it's a national program, mostly geared toward caring adults, helping children who have a need for a little extra attention. We no longer require that children come from a single parent family, but we do require that they reside in Richland County, and the kids have to be between the ages of 5 and 17. That's pretty much the only requirements. The volunteers can be anyone. They do have to pass very strict background tests and give references, and we have an interview, but for the most part, they're wonderful people, and they have to make a commitment to spend a year with a child, but it doesn't always work, and sometimes it lasts a lot longer. So those are kind of the parameters.
Can we use the word mentoring, Michelle, when we talk about Kinship?
Definitely. Yep. And mentoring, I think it's a wonderful word. It isn't just about parents helping kids. It's about, you know, just anyone who has an interest in another person helping that person. So it can fit in a lot of ways.
I would like to meet the parent who never could have used a day's help from somebody else. Don't you think?
I do. Yeah. We do an annual survey with both the parents and the mentors. And we got really positive responses this year from both sides. And the parents, I think they really do appreciate it. And they realize that the kids really appreciate it and benefit from it. So I can't say anything negative about it.
How do you, we're on the air today to find volunteers, no question, but how do young people, how do the children who are served by Kinship, how are they identified in our community?
Usually they're referred by either a parent or a grandparent or a teacher, counselor, church member, but we are in need of referrals for kids now too. We actually have a couple of mentors waiting, and so we can use children are always matched with a volunteer of the same gender, so we do have, you know, at least one of each gender volunteer in the waiting. So
Let's say that a couple, is it ever two on one, you know, two adults with one child?
Yes, and we've had some real successful couples mentoring. The primary mentor is the you know, is the person of the couple of the same gender as the child, but they both go through the background checks. And actually, it's been a great experience, especially with couples who don't have very many family members close by. It becomes kind of a another kind of family. So it's wonderful.
What kind of mindset does an adult volunteer, a mentor, need to go into this relationship realistically and having the best chance for success, Michelle?
Well, I think that they can't have unreasonable expectations. You know, they just have to be themselves and, you know, look, if they're having fun, probably the kids will have fun. And just kind of, you know, thinking of things that they enjoy. And we always try to match up kids who have similar interests to the adults. So often it works. And Colleen and Randy will tell you some stories later for examples. So,
but my role, if I'm a volunteer or mentor, is not to be the parent. It's to be the kinship mentor, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And we do, you know, a little orientation, and the mentors all get a little handbook. And one of the things they have to remember is that, no, they're not the parent, and they can't do, you know, discipline unless there's a danger to the child or themselves. And at the same time, the parents get sort of an agreement that they will cooperate and, you know, support the mentor, and they will not hold the mentoring as a, you know, as a form of punishment. So that's kind of like the only, you know, for the most part, the kids always say, yeah, I want to go. I want to, you know, I want to do this. And it's so we don't want it to make it a negative thing.
Has there ever been a time, Michelle, maybe where a parent felt, oh, this probably would be a good idea, but I'm nervous about letting my child go with a mentor, or I don't want to admit that I've failed as a parent and need a mentor to help me?
Well, I guess that's true. And it does, actually, there's a little red tape in filling out forms and you know, doing an interview at home and things like that. But I think once they've tried it, and we have had sort of trial periods, but once they've tried it, I think they realize that it's safe. And they're comfortable, and there's no worries. We're really careful about screening, and I think the mentors just demonstrate that they're reliable. You know, they show up, and you know the kids are well taken care of. It's more than glorified babysitting. It's a true relationship. So.
And if somebody asked me what I remember, what you've tried to get across in all the conversations we've had over the years, it's not that I'm the fairy grandmother or the one that grants all the wishes or brings a big checkbook. It's about a proper perspective and providing experiences in a better future, isn't it?
Very true. And that's also in those agreements that I mentioned that, you know, these are people who are not paid and they're giving of their time. And that's the major thing, the time, and not material things. So we emphasize that we don't want people to spend a lot and, you know, make it a financial hardship. We just want it to be authentic.
Do you, when it comes time for the opportunity to make a match, you know, does that include your conversations with the parent, the child, and the potential mentor?
Oh, yes. Yep. That's why we interview all of them. And you'd be surprised how much you can learn about a person in an hour or so. And, you know, from life experience, I think I'm pretty good at kind of making a good match. It doesn't always work, but usually, you know, there's a feeling about it, and I have to go with my gut feeling.
So. All right. So now I'm the child who wants to be in kinship. What kind of questions would I expect from you to help you learn about me?
Well, the kids, actually I interview the parents while the child is filling out their interview sheet, and if they're able to. And so they're kind of listening in on what the parents are saying, and vice versa. And the child also fills out an interest survey, and they circle everything that they like to do or would like to learn to do. And there's a lot of things on that list, and, you know, like going to the fair or riding a horse or reading and on and on. And they get, they actually get into it. And, you know, so after I talk to the parent and I read over what the kids have written, which is often very, very brief, I look at the interest survey and I can tell so much about them, you know, and they're excited to tell me, well, you know, what they like to do and kind of what they're looking for. One tiny drawback is most of our mentors, our volunteers, are older adults because they simply have more time. And some kids are like, I don't think I'd like to be with an older person because I want someone who can do things. But as Colleen and Randy will tell you,
they're both young, of course.
Well,
this is radio.
Well, that's true. But they're young at heart. It's, you know, it's what you want to do and what you feel like doing with someone. And being with a kid, you know, sort of makes you feel younger and more willing to do a few things that you wouldn't normally do.
But at the same time, I think today, Michelle, one of the challenges that we have in society, from my own personal opinion, is that we don't live as close to our grandparents as what we used to. Many of us grew up with grandpa and grandma on either side, and so we spent more time with them. In some ways, I see kinship, you know, with older volunteers who have the time to maybe help a student realize what it's like to have a grandparent or a person who's, you know, that next generation above their parents.
Yeah, that's really true. And Randy and I were just talking about that the other day, that there are a few cases where the kids' grandparents are involved, but oftentimes not. And oftentimes the single parent household are very isolated. And, you know, they're working all the time. And yeah, they go to daycare, but there's not a lot of backup from, you know, older, well, just relatives in general and older relatives. So
I'm just trying to imagine a child that's circling all the things that he or she would like to do. And I'm thinking to myself, looking at that list, thinking, I ain't gonna make this happen. Riding a horse, you know, driving a sports car, whatever it might be. It's like, you know, children's imaginations and my abilities don't line up always.
Well, you'd be surprised. we do have some mentors who like to do those very things, you know, and so they'll be on a different day.
Give us some examples of activities that have been very meaningful and activities, Michelle, that you would say, that's a great idea. You know, that's a way to build your relationship with the child.
Well, we do have group activities that we do on sort of on a quarterly basis, and usually we do roller skating in the winter, and then bowling in the spring, and kayaking in the summer, and then we're going to Haunted Cave out at Eagle Cave next weekend. And
so, do like all parents and all children, or how do, or all mentors and all children do this?
It's kind of directed at mentors and the kids.
Okay.
But family members are invited, and it's kind of a way to do something as a group that everybody is able to do in their own way, kinship pays the, you know, the cost, so there's no fee for them. And it's a good way for the volunteers to meet each other and for the kids to interact and say, hey, you know, I'm not the only one doing this, and these are pretty cool people. So
when if I am a kinship volunteer, do I always take the child away from his or her home environment for an activity?
Not always. We actually have a couple of kids who prefer to stay around home, and if that's the case and it's agreeable, the caretaker can leave for a while. And that's true with at least one of our matches. It's whatever works out for them. And I have to say that all of our volunteers are very sensitive. And the parents and grandparents and caregivers have been really cooperative. So.
But each situation's unique, isn't it?
Definitely. Yep. And that's part of the beauty of it, because, well, it's just like a friendship, you know, on any level. You get to know a person and you learn so much about them, and they're, you know, there's quirks, but there's wonderful things. And the kids notice so much and kind of help us with our self-confidence, too. Like, they're appreciating who we are. So there's rewards for the volunteers as well.
Let's say someone steps forward and wants to be a volunteer, or a family says, I have a child that I'd very much like to see benefit from kinship. Once you've made the initial match then, Michelle, do you stay involved to see how that relationship is going?
Yes. We try to contact both the volunteer and the child's family every couple of weeks for the first few months. After that, it's kind of quarterly. And They always have my contact information if there's any issues. We do follow up. And then at the year anniversary, we usually get together, all of us, and decide, well, should we give it a go for another year? And usually they'll say yes. A couple of times they have said, well, you know, I kind of want to try with someone else. And that's okay. So either way.
And I'm guessing maybe some of the students, as they get older, maybe they have different friends or activities with high school or otherwise that may change their outlook or viewpoint.
Yeah. We did a fundraiser share night at Culver's last week, and actually one of our kids, former kinship kids, is working there now. And it was like, yeah, you know, and it's an inspiration to the younger kids who are coming to help out, because they're seeing someone who's succeeded and is, you know, just a real shining star. So.
In your experience, Michelle, how long does it take for a relationship to start to form between the mentor and the child?
Well, it kind of depends on both people, but usually within a month or so, theoretically they meet for like an hour a week, sometimes more, less often, but usually within a month or two, you can definitely see some bonds forming. And like Randy's little guy, at the second time I think Randy went to see him, the little guy introduced Randy to another person who was at his house and said, this is my guy.
That's a pretty nice compliment, isn't it? Yeah. But then if things don't work, that's when no one has failed. It's just that you need to do a different match, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. And we have tried that. And, you know, after matching someone that you've realized what hasn't worked about the relationship, you can kind of look for the qualities in another person that might work.
You've learned, haven't you?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And there's not always the perfect person, but you know, usually it's pretty close and you can make it work. So
I've heard it said many times with children, you know, a consistent and constant schedule is important. For those who are considering mentoring, being the adult volunteers, making a commitment that's not broken is likely very important, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we really emphasize it's not just true on the part of the volunteer, but on the part of the families. If that volunteer is spending their time to come and meet their child, they need to make sure to follow through and be there and support the relationship. That's been a bit of an issue too. So, it needs to be important to both parties, and they need to see that they're going to be there for them and follow through, and they're serious. So.
But that exercise is a critical part of a life skill. You know, giving that child, you know, it's really some very basic, you know, skills that will serve them well in their lives, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And the part of it is that interacting with a different person, they sort of have different ways about them, including, you know, their acts of courtesy and some other things like that might not be so important in their home life, but they're learning that, how to how some other person makes their way in life, and watching to be impressed with that.
You mentioned that there are openings right now for children who would like to be mentored, families who know they have a child who would benefit from a kinship relationship. Is there a charge to those families to have their child involved?
No, not at all. All they have to do is call, and I can give you the number. It's 608-475-4000. 2886. That's our voicemail contact. Or you can contact us via email, and it's kinshiprc@gmail.com. There's no cost to the parents, and there's no cost to the volunteers, except for what they want to incur. Like Randy took his kid to the fair and put a limit on the rides and stuff, but there's no cost involved.
That was going to be my next question. As a mentor, should I expect to be able to invest some of my own money in having experiences with this child?
Well, it's on a case-by-case basis, but some people, you know, I emphasize that time is the most important investment, but some people, yeah, you know, just going out for a soft drink or doing, you know, some little thing. Usually it's not a big investment of money, but we also have a relationship with Simons Recreation Center, so that all the kids, if they go swimming with their mentor, they can get in for free. So there are things that they can do for no cost. Like in the winter, sometimes it's really hard to find things to do. And so there are those options. And we're working on finding more partnerships like that, so that people can do more things. It's limited.
What indicators do you look for in the child to make sure that they are gaining, or maybe that just reassures you of the important role that kinship can play in our community, Michelle?
Well, I mentioned these surveys, so, you know, the parents and the kids can give feedback that way, and also the reaction of the volunteers. You know, they're pretty astute, and it's also the parents, you know, watching them and just seeing them at the group activities, their interactions. So there's kind of those little milestones.
You mentioned one of your costs is when you do one of these group outing type events. How does kinship, you know, raise dollars that it needs to function? And, you know, are you in a position where you need financial support from our community?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Because actually, kinship is we're the smallest affiliate in the national system. There are about 20 now. They lost a lot during COVID. But everyone is impressed that our annual budget is under $8,000 a year, and that includes my part-time salary. So all of our funds come from donations from individuals and organizations, and United Givers is our biggest donator. But we will do an appeals letter in November, and we basically really appreciate all the donations people give, of time or money. So if you'd like our address, if you want to send something, is P.O. Box 51, Richland Center.
P.O. Box 51, Richland Center.
Yep.
For someone who says, I'd love to be able to support the program, I'll send some money, how would it be used other than those group activities, Michelle?
Well, we have to pay a membership fee to have the umbrella organization. And then we have to get volunteer insurance, you know, that's very important. We also have, you know, the basic costs of having a cell phone, a dedicated line, stamps, you know, for sending people self-addressed stamped envelopes for references, little things like that.
They all add up, don't they?
They do. Yeah, it's surprising. And we actually share an office at the courthouse with free legal clinic, and we keep our files there, but it's really nice to have that. But, you know, it's not kind of like we can't use all their all their stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I just think, though, that the opportunities that existed when kinship first started and the reasons it started, those reasons are still as solid today as they were back in the 1980s, aren't they?
It's true. And actually, it's been really neat watching the kids grow up and some of them becoming mentors themselves. And, you know, just kind of the word of mouth, how good it really can be. So.
And I'm not to wear a sign, hey, I'm a mentor for kinship when I'm out. I should just blend in with the rest of the world, shouldn't
yep.
I?
Yep. I like, you know, just saying, this is my friend and, mm-hmm. you know, my buddy. So.
Well, I often wonder who gets more out of the relationship, and that may be something that Colleen and Randy have to answer this morning. But I think that's a good question, isn't it? The child or the adult?
Yeah, and I think it's good if they both get something out of it, and I think they do.
Well, so. I think you're right. We'll take a break. We'll talk more about kinship, and we'll visit with Colleen and Randy about their experiences, find out why Colleen stepped forward. We know why Randy did. And we'll tell you more about that coming up in just a moment. Welcome back to our morning conversation today on WRCO Radio. Kinship is our topic today. Michelle Nolan Karras is in the studio with us. Michelle is the director of Kinship of Richland County. Colleen Pulvermacher and Randy Durst are both mentors, both are volunteers, and it's our privilege at this time to be able to learn about their role. Colleen, let me begin with you. Welcome back to the program. It's nice to have you on the air today.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
How did you get started with Kinship? I'm going to say, acknowledging your role with young people. Working with youth and families is nothing new for you, is it?
No, I've done that for many, many years. Really, really enjoyed that. And I'm at a point in my life now where I had some extra time in my schedule, and I really like the flexibility of kinship. And I thought, I wonder if that would be a good fit for me. So reached out to Michelle and had that conversation and decided, yeah, I'd like to mentor a child and see how it goes and evolves.
So when you filled out that adult survey, were you enthused or were you thinking, oh, what am I getting myself into?
I said, no bungee jumping. But a long, long career of working with children and families and, just wanted to share my interest in, cooking and, being outside, working in the yard, birds, all these things. And I thought maybe that won't be exciting to a child, but lo and behold, it's worked out really, really well. So you don't have to have these, high risk sports, as your criteria to be a mentor, to be a mom, for 30 some years and just really a person who enjoys young people and want to do what I can to share my gifts with them.
Did you have a particular age range that was a preference for you, or did it make any difference?
Yeah, I really like that, kind of that first through fifth grade, that younger elementary, even though for me personally, that was many, 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 many years ago. I really love that that particular age group. So that's what I had said to Michelle, and she said, I think that'll work out fine.
Were you nervous meeting the child for the first time?
No, not at all, because what I chose to do was I love to read, and I love the library, Brewer Library here in town. And so I suggested that we meet there. And that worked out really well. The parent came also, and Michelle and the parent then went, off in their own area. And the child and I were in the children's area doing puzzles and that kind of thing, and kind of getting to know each other slowly. And we did that for, probably 4 weeks or so. And of course, this was in March, so it was cold out. And then when we knew that there was a comfortableness, we both felt good about it, then I began to meet her at the bus stop, and we would walk to my home and then have our time together there. So it evolved over time. Realizing that there are a lot of adults in a child's life, I wanted to go slowly, and I think that worked out really well.
Would that be your advice to a potential volunteer, Colleen?
Yes, it would. We don't always know all that children are dealing with, and like to go slowly and get to know them. And also for the volunteer, you want to be sure it's a good fit. I've never experienced with my child any disrespect, any bad language, or anything like that. And I think it's just good to know there's a good fit there. She's always been respectful.
Have you felt the appreciation of your child's family?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I recognize that, each family has a different life situation and life stressors. And I'm definitely coming from a place of privilege, where I can't always relate to some of the experiences that the families have had. So I give them grace in that regard, that I think they do appreciate it.
How do you decide what it is that you will do each week with your child? And is it a weekly visit for you?
Well, what we found works the best is rather than the 1 hour once a week, to have it a little less often and for a couple of hours together. Because one of our early conversations is I had asked the child something that she wished she could change in the world. And she's a smart little gal. She said, "We always have to hurry." And I thought about that and how could we change the way that our time together was structured so we didn't have to hurry. And that seems to work really well. She's tired of being rushed. Rush to get on the bus to, do this, do that. And so a longer chunk of time, a couple times a month, it works well.
How do you decide what you're going to do? And does the child play a role in that?
Yes. I mean, I know her well enough now that she'll be excited about most things I have planned. And I use the Mary Poppins approach. I always have a little something in my bag. On a really hot day this summer, I thought, okay, we're going to go down to the basement where it's nice and cool. We'll do an art project. That worked really well. We'll go out and, water the flowers and talk about what's growing well and what isn't and what should we do differently and kind of, try to introduce her into some problem solving. We do a lot of problem solving in the kitchen as we've done some cooking together and so forth. So I always have 3 or 4 ideas of things that we can do and make sure that I have what I need. Some days it's just I have a robust collection of hats. I have about 45 hats. And so some days, one day we just took time and went through all the hats. Well, what's this one for? And what's that one for? Wouldn't that be fun to wear for Halloween or on Dr. Seuss's birthday or whatever it is? So we can do that. But yeah, I have just a variety of things. Something we've never done is like plop down and watch TV. We always interact. We play a game, do a puzzle. She's really beat me in a lot of games of Spot It and, King's Corners and that type of thing. And she loves that. And that's how you find out how's school going, what's happening? What are you excited about? Is I'll ask those questions. What was the coolest thing that happened at school today?
You talked earlier when we were, before we got on the air, mm-hmm. You mentioned now how bright and really astute this child is.
Yes.
But then she asked you some very pointed questions about the relationship that really, I think, kind of tugs at our heartstrings and demonstrates why kinship is so valuable.
Yes, yes. Just recently, we were celebrating her birthday just a bit earlier, and we were kind of cleaning up from the meal, and she said, "How long do I get to have you?" And that was really a sweet question. And in my mind, I thought, this gal has had people in and out of her life a lot, and she's looking for that long-term connection. And I smiled and I said, I think for a long time, as long as both of us are happy in the relationship. So she needed that reassurance, you know, that I wasn't and just for the summer, just for the school year, I will be here for her. So little things I do also to just continue that relationship. When I was on a vacation, I had reached out to our 4-H leader. Our community is so wonderful with multiple connections. And I know the 4-H program really, really well. And so anyway, made connections with her and what she's doing in 4-H and how I may be able to be of some support there. But when I went on a vacation, I said to the 4-H leader, I would like to send her a postcard. She said, oh, she will love that. Send it to me and I'll be sure that she gets it. So there was a connection there. So there are multiple people supporting children, which is just wonderful. It does truly take a village to set our children up for success.
Well, it's awesome to have you here and acknowledge the good work you are doing.
Thanks.
I'll leave you with this question and let you ponder it for a while I ask Randy some.
Okay.
But that is, who is benefiting more, the child or Colleen? And so we'll find that out later. Randy Durst is with us as well today. Randy is another one of the mentors in Kinship. I said that you didn't have any choice. I'll let you describe the process by which you became a volunteer, my friend.
Well, since Michelle is the director, well, I was kind of involved. And I told her a while back that I wouldn't mind doing it. I was hoping to get somebody close to Yuba where we live, so because the driving is kind of a nuisance. But but then we ended up with this boy in Richland Center. So, okay, I drive to Richland Center. It's not that far, I guess. But, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
You obviously heard Michelle talking about kinship and the challenges and so forth. You know, how did the transition go for you as you stepped into the role of a mentor, Randy?
It was very easy because, you know, we have grandchildren the same age as my child, and I just treat him pretty much the same way I do my grandchildren, and we're never short of things to do, and we have a lot of fun.
So are there some special events that have, or maybe activities that you've done that have really worked well?
Well, we've been to just about every park in the area, and we went biking on the bike trail, but well, we went to the fair, but the handy thing is, since we live on the farm is the greatest playground in the world. If I don't have something else planned, he's always glad to come out to the farm and spend a couple hours because he can have fun with the animals and play with the dog and the cats, and we can ride the bikes up and down the driveway, and we have a ping pong table in the shop. The last time he was out, he helped me change the tire on the hay wagon, and I think that was a new experience for him. We had to mount the tire on the rim, and we stuck the tube in, you know, and then he oiled up the lug nuts, and he was helping me screw the lug bolts on, and he said, oh, this is a real workout, you know. And then after we were done, he patted his belly, and he says, oh, yeah, I think I lost some weight.
But what a lesson in real life experience. I mean, he has a whole different viewpoint now when he looks at a wagon or a car tire or anything else, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's different from town life.
Sure.
And there's just a lot of experiences he picks up, you know. And the fact that we're older and we do things differently. The first time he came out, we were going to have a lunch, and Michelle told him, okay, go wash your hands. And he goes in the bathroom. And he says, where's the soap? And I said, well, it's right there. We had bar soap. He wasn't used to bar soap. He said, how do you get it out? So we show him how to use a bar of soap.
How did you start the relationship? And was it kind of like Colleen's, where it was a go slow approach, getting to know this young person?
Not really. He's very active, and it was just, it just clicked right off, you know. It was just me trying to keep up with him. I've been a 4-H leader for many years, so on the days when we have the 4-H meeting, I take him with me. And I remember the first time he went, he was so shy. He was hiding in the stairwell, and he would peek around the corner at the kids having their meeting. And now, he just, everybody knows him. He runs around and he does activities with us and he just has a ball, you know. So,
how have you scheduled your time? Are you a once a week or is it, you know, how do you make the schedule work, Randy?
Yeah, it's once a week. It's Sunday afternoons, you know, because that's when I have time. and we usually, it usually amounts to a couple hours by the time I pick him up and run him back, you know, but so. But yeah, we do it every week. I don't think I've missed any. Yeah, I did miss 1 week. We were gone. But anyway.
How do you assess whether or not things are really, really going well? You know, if you give yourself a report card on how the relationship is growing and progressing, Randy, what do you look for?
Oh, as long as we're just having fun, I guess. And like Michelle was saying, that the boy, he refers to me as his guy, you know, and he's my kid, you know. So, it's really a grandparent sort of thing, you know. We're kind of the surrogate grandparents because, like we were saying before, most of us are older. Mm-hmm. I think maybe we all are, but so if I feel comfortable pretty much the same way with my grandkids, and mm-hmm. so.
If somebody said to you, how are you benefiting, and do you think I would benefit if I was a kinship volunteer, what would you say, Randy?
Well, yeah, you benefit. It's just having fun, and it's rewarding. You can't really point and say, okay, you come into this life, like, and it's everything changes for them. It's just bit by bit. If you're having a good relationship, then you hope that they're picking up things and having a good time, you know.
Did you have a preference on age for yourself?
I don't think I picked. I think this kid was available, so mm-hmm. I got him.
And there's something to be said for that, isn't there? Then you learn with what you get.
Right. Mm-hmm. But this is a really nice age. You know, he's six, you know, and... You know, they're very impressionable at that age. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to start young, I guess. We kind of have an advantage because the children that kinship gets, they've been referred by their parents. I mean, you know, you got at least one parent that cares enough about the kid to sign them up for kinship, you know. So you have that support automatically. Right. My boy's mother... has been very supportive, you know. It works out real nice.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Well, what we'll do is we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll find out whether Randy's benefiting more or your kid is. And we'll talk about that as we wrap up our morning show today, talking about kinship here on WRCO. Kinship is our topic on the morning show today on WRCO Radio. Randy Durst is one of our guests today. Randy is a mentor with Kinship. Well, the question is, who's benefiting more, Randy Durst or the child that is your kid, as he refers to himself, and your guy or his guy? You know, my guess is you're both gaining, Randy.
Oh, I would certainly hope so. That's what can I say? We're just having a good time, and yeah. I certainly hope that he's gaining. I am. We really like. I like working with kids, and he's a nice one.
But to that end, you mentioned before, it may not be earth-shattering things that he comes and says, "You've changed my whole life." If you just have a relationship that builds, it may have implications in his life that are far greater than we may ever know.
Well, I think a lot of what it is just that. These kids have another person that's paying attention to them. You know, he's my kid, so I'm his guy. So, you know, kids are always want, look at me, and they go take stupid chances and stuff. You know, look at me. You know, grandpa or dad, and they want to be noticed and focused on, and so now they got another person focusing on them, and I think that increases their self-esteem, their feeling of self-worth, you know.
I think that's well said. Colleen, how about you? Who's benefiting more, you or the child?
Oh, I think we both, in equal measure, certainly do benefit. We look forward to our time together and just have a lot of fun. Whether I was just thinking back to some of the things that kind of wowed my child. One of them was like making popcorn on the stove. She had never seen that done. And I thought, wow. I mean, it's not these big grandiose gestures. It's just really spending that time with them and sharing what it is that you enjoy. I do have a little collection of aprons, and one day she wanted to wear one of my special aprons. We were doing a little cooking, and so she walked into the room with the apron on and, you know, carrying some food, and my husband said, I don't know whose smile was bigger, yours or hers. You know, it's just so precious. So it's just a wonderful program and a privilege to be a part of it.
Well, I don't know that anyone signs up to be a kinship volunteer so they can benefit. Right. I think the viewpoint is always so the child can.
Yes.
But I think we're foolish if we don't realize that there are benefits to, I mean, not that you're paid in dollars, but you're sure paid in potential goodwill, aren't
you? Oh, yes, yes. I really, really enjoy it. It goes in my gratitude journal every time that she's there.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, Michelle, one of the things we want to talk about is how people need to get a hold of you. But the good news you had this morning that I think sticks out like, you know, just a big red opportunity is that you have openings for children right now with mentors who could take them. But you also are looking for mentors always, aren't you?
Yes, either way. The way to contact us is through our voicemail, 608-475-2886, or contact us through on our email is kinshiprc@gmail.com.
And we should expect to leave a message when we call, shouldn't we?
Right.
And you answer those messages.
I will check that every day and get right back to you. Mm-hmm.
So if I'm a mentor, how much do you need to know? Just my contact information, and then you would set up a meeting with us?
Right. The first step when someone contacts me is I would send them an application. They would fill that out. And for the volunteers, they have to submit at least 3 references, and I have to get those returned before I do a background check. And then after that, we do the interview. So it takes a little time, especially with the mail. But that's kind of it for the volunteer. For the child, it isn't as slow, and kids aren't as good at waiting. So it's pretty much a matter of the parent or some, you know, guardian helping them fill out the form. And there is a part just for the kids to do. They have to sign it. And then they get it back to me, and I go and interview them. So it's pretty easy.
And my guess is the worst time is when you have children that don't have a mentor who are anxious and waiting for one.
Yeah, that's a big issue in a lot of the other affiliates. Like I said, we're the smallest, but I think it's been working out so well. We usually have about the same amount of kids and grown-ups to match, and I'm really glad.
Well, and again, if someone wants to support you financially, maybe they're not in a position to be a mentor right now, but they really want to reinforce those relationships with their financial support. Their gifts are always appreciated, aren't they?
Yes, and you can just send them to Kinship@P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin.
Final word you'd like to add this morning, Michelle?
Well, I'd just like to thank all of our volunteers and all of our families and, you know, all of our support in the community, including you guys. It takes a village, like Colleen says.
Well said. Randy, Colleen, best wishes in your matches. Hope those continue to go well. And Michelle, come back and see us at any time. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you.
Kinship of Richland County. Again, the number is 608-475-2886.